Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Well, it's official. We hit our 500th official regular episode. Two or three episodes ago. Well, we forgot, / we didn't notice, that we'd actually hit that milestone. That's almost 10 years worth of Monsters Among Us. Now, as one might imagine, it's challenging to continue to come up with ideas after all that time. But it's important that we do so. After all, one of my main goals is to try my best to keep the show as fresh as I can. We're not just going through the motions here. And to accomplish that, I had to stay creative. Sometimes, too creative. And that might be where tonight's theme lands. Only time will tell. But tonight's theme isn't about one specific phenomena. It's not about one specific place. These calls aren't even submitted. All from the same continent. No, the one thing that all these stories have in common is a single, solitary color. The color red. I told you I had to get creative. So prepare yourself any way you know how, and join me in welcoming our first guest of the evening, Aaron from California. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Derek. This is Aaron from California, and I don't know exactly how to say this, but little backstory. I was helping a very good friend of mine with his business. He did cleaning for businesses in the evenings. And I was helping him with a certain business, and he was at the gym. He was going to come help me out. And then he ended up calling me saying that he had met a friend at the gym and was going to help him at his place, and that I could join when I was done with what I was doing. So as I finished up, I did what I needed to do, finished up, and ended up driving about 30 minutes, you know, away from where I was, and met up with my buddy and his friend. And I guess my buddy's friend wasn't doing too well and needed somebody to, you know, talk to and that kind of stuff. But in a weird way, it kind of got a little dark. This guy, like, I don't know how to explain it other than he was not a good person. Like, I could feel that. And I was like, I don't want to be here. And it didn't seem like it was a good thing at all. And I'm a little sensitive to those things, I guess. And my buddy's like, hey, you know, he needs to talk and everything. And that's fine. But I was like, nope, I can't stay here. And I turned around and walked down this dude's hallway and out his front door. And as I walked out the front door and looked to my right, there was about an 8-foot red bouncing ball that came down the street from my right, and it bounced in front of the houses, came in front of me, and to my left, it made a right-hand turn and bounced outside of the neighborhood and vanished into the main roadway outside. I've never heard of anything like that before. I don't know what it was. I do know what it was. I'm sorry. It was a red bouncing ball that was like 8 foot in diameter. I don't know what it meant. We were there to help somebody. And I think that person was, I don't know. So that's my story. And I hope I can find if somebody has ever seen that red bouncing ball before. If not, that's okay. Thank you, Derek. I love your podcast and what you do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Aaron. Well, I hate to burst your big red bubble here, but this one might have a super simple explanation. You can actually buy an inflatable 8-foot bright red latex ball over on Amazon for about $28. It's sold as a meteorological tool. In other words, it's a weather balloon. But it does exactly match the description that Aaron just gave. So is it possible that someone bought one of these things and it got away from them, or they purposely let it loose down the street? A weather balloon or not, the story is a perfect example of what we're doing here tonight. And I'm going to get right back into the action right after this quick word from tonight's sponsor.
We have them shipped to your home or stored securely.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Look, we've been talking almost all day about...
We have a crash on the 10 in mid-city.
Now next up, we cross the Atlantic, destined for merry old England. Please welcome Sean to the program.
Hi Derek, my name is Sean. I live in a small town called Raynham in Medway, Kent of UK. This story happened 10 years ago now when I was 13, 14. It was me and my best friend Nathan. He was with two of our friends who used to live across the street from me. I think they were about 3 years younger than us, so they would have been about 10, 11. So down the road from us, there is a farmland. And right next to the farmland, there is like an old people's home. Our village we used to live in was called Cliff, going on the River Thames. Got quite a lot of history to it. There's a lot of stuff going back to World War One, World War Two. There's loads of World War bunkers scattered around, artifacts, pottery, all this stuff. So there's quite a lot of history to our village. So yeah, me and my mate and these two old people living across the road, one boy, one girl. So we was just playing around in the field. The field was recently ploughed, and this was midsummer, so it was ploughed and all the upturned dirt was dried up, so it made it kind of hard to walk on. We was just walking across the field, and my mate had, her name was Phoebe, and they had Phoebe on his back. We was just walking across the field. I think she was just getting tired or something, and just out of nowhere, well, he falls over and she's on her back, so they both fall over. She's crying. We're like, oh damn, like she must have hurt herself on the mud or something. But then when we get up, she says that someone pushed her, in turn pushing my friend Nathan over as well. And she said that her back was hurting. So when we looked at her back, there was like a slight red handprint on her back. So we was like, huh, that's kind of weird. But like, we wasn't shocked or anything like this, really. Like, we've always been interested in the paranormal and stuff like this. So we was just like, hi, that's pretty cool. We just walked her and her brother back, took her back home, and that was it. Could be anything really, a ghost. Because what I was saying, there's a lot of history to the village that we grew up in, and you know, old people home next to a field, and you have a lot of four noisy kids playing in the field. Don't know if it's anything to do that we've angered the old spirit or something, and they lashed out a little bit and pushed him and her over. Love the show, love your work, keep it up.
Thank you, Sean. A ghostly red handprint. In a plowed field, no less. A very interesting location for an interaction like this. And I can't help but wonder why. Perhaps the spirits were upset about the turning of the earth. Perhaps there was a building or a settlement there at one time. Or whatever it is, it doesn't seem to take kindly to visitors. And we thank you, Sean, for sharing this incredible story here with us. Now, folks, if you have a story to share involving any color or any topic, as long as it's paranormal, of course, give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or record your story using a voice memo app on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to have your youngsters call in. It's official, Monsters Among Us Junior Season 2 starts on August 27th. And unfortunately, we don't have a large bank of calls like we do here on the main show. So we need those youngsters to call in. That number is 888-MAU-KIDS. Or if you want, you can do the voice memo thing and email us at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. We sure do look forward to hearing from everyone. Now, folks, this next story comes to us with a bit of a warning. As you probably guessed, being a bright red substance, blood will eventually work its way into this episode. Well, it does so on this next entry. And I say all this as a trigger warning, because there are a few gory details pertaining to suicide in the following call. Sadly, those details are pertinent to the story. So let that be your warning. And welcome Trenton, out of the state of Kentucky.
Yeah, this is Trenton from Kentucky. I wanted to share a quick story that my nanny, my grandma, used to tell me growing up, along with many other paranormal and freaky things she would share with me anyway. She was my best friend, amazing. She's the one that introduced me to horror movies as a kid. She was just everything to me, and she unfortunately passed just a couple months ago. So I thought I would share one of her stories that she shared with me to kind of, I don't know, get it out there in the world in her honor. But anyway, this took place way before I was born, before my mother was born. It was when my nanny was a child in Cave City, Kentucky. Her father at the time was diagnosed with some severe stomach cancer. And I guess she said he couldn't take the suffering or the pain anymore. They knew that he was suicidal, so they hid his shotgun. They said as they took the pen out of it. And one day they went to the grocery store. When they came back, they had found that I guess he had wrapped a belt of some sort around the shotgun in a way for it to be able to fire or something like that. He rigged it up in a way that it could fire, self-inflicted to the head. She said that his brain matter was all over the walls and they had to clean it up themselves, and they repainted the room, cleaned it up, and they ended up just boarding up that room because I guess they couldn't stand to be in there. Later on, they sold the house and ended up becoming friends with the people that they sold it to, and I guess they were having a cookout or a get-together or something. And they were like, you know, how you enjoying the house? And they said, good. And they got to talking about it, and they said that there's just one strange thing about this room that was boarded up when they moved in, that every time it rained, red paint would come to the walls. I guess you could imagine what that would be. So I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if there's some sort of atmospheric reaction or some sort of scientific explanation or whatever, but I just thought it was pretty interesting. But I appreciate it. I love the podcast. Been listening for quite a while. Take care.
Thank you, Trenton. And I'm sorry for your loss. Grandmas are special people. I had two great ones myself that are no longer with us. We sure don't get enough time with them, that's for sure. Now, as for the details of your story, we've heard about blood oozing out of the walls in a handful of stories over the years, so this isn't our first rodeo. But this might be the first that mentions the phenomena only occurring during a rainstorm. I don't recall that detail in prior submissions. But of course, that does little to solve that mystery. But we do thank you, Trenton, for taking the time to call in. We look forward to hearing more of your grandmother's stories. Now, I have another bloody story to share with you here this evening. This next one, too, involves blood on the walls. But luckily, no grisly details. Please welcome Taylor, all the way from Paris, France.
Hello, Derek. This is Taylor. I'm calling from Paris, France. The story I'm about to tell you happened in San Clemente, California, kind of near, I guess, where you live. This happened maybe 10 years ago, and it happened to my mom and my sisters, and I guess to me too, because some weird stuff also happened to me. This was a brand new house in a brand new housing neighborhood, I guess, and it was a flipped upside down house. So the kitchen was on the top, and so was the master bedroom, and then on the bottom floor was a couple of bedrooms. And at the time, two of my sisters were recovering from different things. one of my sisters had gallbladder surgery, and the other one had fallen off her horse and broke her ankle. So we had a mini infirmary downstairs. So one night, we had just moved in. My mom was sleeping, and she all of a sudden said that someone screamed in her face. And so she woke up, like sat up in bed and looked at the wall in front of her. And she said that there was blood running down the wall. And my mom was like staring at it, like she doesn't get sleep paralysis or anything like that. And she watched it until the morning light came and hit it, I guess, and then it slowly faded away. So my mom, not really wanting to scare any of us, you know, we had just moved into this new house. She didn't say anything to anybody. And that day, she was outside with my nephew. My sister's child was around 3 at the time. And it was near Halloween. And so my mom had gotten him a blow-up witch to put in the front lawn. And so they're blowing up this witch and having a good time, and he's loving it. You know, spooky season is always so much fun for kids. So they're done with that, and my nephew really liked to unload the dishwasher. So he's up there with my mom on the top floor, and they're unloading the dishwasher. And all of a sudden, my mom said that he turned to her, and he said, "Nanny, you better watch out." And she's like, "Fine, silly." And he said, "The witch in the wall is going to get you." And my mom was like, "What witch?" You know, kind of like, that's kind of weird. Like, the witch that we just got you today in the front lawn? And he said, "No, I show you." And so he took her hand and he took her into her bedroom and pointed at the wall where the blood was running down. And he said, "The witch in the wall is going to get you, Nanny. You better watch out." And my mom was totally freaked out. And she was like, "Okay, well, we're going to go to the grocery store now," because she didn't want to be alone in the house with just him and whatever that thing was. So she didn't tell anybody what he said. And that night, she was dozing off. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, she heard footsteps like running up the stairs, and all of a sudden the door flies open to her bedroom, and my sister is standing there, and she is freaked out, and she jumps in my mom's bed, and she said, "This place is effing haunted." And my mom was like, "Whoa, like why what's going on?" And my sister said, "Someone just screamed in my face." And my mom was like, "Oh, well, it was probably just a dream," you know, like not wanting to freak anybody out. Didn't tell her what happened that day. And that house was just super creepy. I mean, I wasn't super young, but I would be downstairs in my room and I would be on my computer, and you would just feel like there was something behind you. Like you had to leave, like you had to get out of there. So eventually, almost all of us were sleeping in my parents' room at the end of us staying at this house. And it just got to be way too much. Like too many things were happening. You would just feel things, you would see like blackness. Like even though you were in the dark, you would like sense that there was like something there. It would be blacker than black, like more than it should be. And so we moved out, and that house has never been able to stay rented. Like every time I look on Google Maps, like there's always a for rent sign in the front lawn. That same nephew, the 3-year-old, he would also see a lot of things, not just in that house, but we moved into another house and he came with us because he would come and stay sometimes. And he'd be in his room and he'd be talking to somebody, talk, talk, talk. And my mom would hear him talking and she would walk in there and she'd be like, who are you talking to? And he'd say, I'm talking to Grandma. And my mom would be like, oh, how is she? And he'd be like, she's good. She's glad that no one's really sad anymore. And my mom would just be like, oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, tell her I said hi. But yeah, I guess that's really the end of my story. Thank you so much for your podcast. I really enjoy listening to it. All right. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Taylor. The witch in the walls. No thanks. And to be warned of it by a child, no less. They produce horror films based on that very notion. And of course he pointed to the same wall that the blood was oozing from. Of course he did. It's wild stuff, Taylor. And I get the feeling that this one will be talked about over on our Instagram account. Definitely in the Facebook group. Probably in our Discord server as well. And you can find all three of those at monstersamonguspodcast.com. And just scroll down to the bottom of the page. Now thank you again, Taylor, for sharing your story. And for making our skin crawl.
The old pirate joke about, you know.
Thank you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
One of the NFL preseason in the books.
I'm a fan. I root for him.
Now, before we move forward, a couple of tidbits about the color red. After the basic black and white, red is the first color that humans perceive. And it's the color that babies see first, before any other. And it's the first those suffering from temporary color blindness see after a brain injury. The color was used as protection in the afterlife. The people of the Paleolithic period buried their dead with red powder in order to ward off evil spirits. And when Chinese emperors asked their personal fortune tellers to choose a color that would bring the most prosperity and good fortune to their reign, red was always the answer. And the color red is very popular in Japan. Many shrines and temples are red, and this fact has a very ancient meaning. Since time immemorial, the color red was seen as a way to scare off evil spirits. And bright red is one of the three colors I chose as the color scheme for this show. Bright red, baby blue, and white. And according to towardsdatascience.com, red or orange is the most reported color when it comes to UFO sightings. And up next, with an example of that popular phenomena, is James, out of the state of Wisconsin.
Hey, Derek, this is James from Hudson, Wisconsin. I have a story to tell you that happened to me and my fiance 3 years ago. My parents have a camper north of us in Wascott, Wisconsin, and we go out there quite a bit. We're up there for the 4th of July that year. Well, there's a lot of ATV trails in that area, and we go riding all the time. So one night, it was roughly, like I said, around the 4th of July, me and my fiance wanted to go for a night ride. We just love riding at night. It's peaceful. We're able to get away from the hubbub we experience back home. So we get on the ATV and we start heading out to the trail. Well, when you leave the campground to get to the trail, you actually have to go down a blacktop road. So we're going down the blacktop road and, you know, in the distance, you can kind of see the area that we're going to go to. And out in the distance, in the horizon, is a red light. The best I could explain it as, it's probably the same color, like if you have a charcoal grill and your ambers and coals are super hot, it's that red kind of glow color. Well, me and her didn't really think much of it. You know, since it was around 4th of July, we thought maybe, you know, a firework or maybe someone's flying a drone or something. So we keep driving through the trail and we get on the trail and we're driving. And we get to a point where we usually turn around and start heading back. So we turn around and we head back. Well, we come around this corner on the ATV trail, and on the part of this trail, actual blacktop road kind of parallels with this part of the trail. So you have the trail on the one side with a very thin pine tree line, and on the other side of that tree line right there is the regular road. So I'd say the distance between the trail and the road can't be more than 10 yards. Well, we come around this corner of the trail where that road parallels the trail, and immediately we see that red light. But now that amber red light is maybe 100 yards in front of us, right above all the trees. There's all pines in this part of the trail, and right above it, you know, that light's hovering. We didn't know what we were looking at. We were so close and it was so big, so I immediately kind of cut across that little pine patch and go right on the blacktop. Well, I kind of start driving, and on the right of this blacktop, there's actually a kind of like a storage unit. So we pull into the entrance of the parking lot, and then immediately to our left, this light is right there, probably 20 yards next to us, hovering above the pine. And I say the pines are probably about 15 to 20 feet. Well, it's slowly moving above that tree line, and I'm just kind of in awe. I froze. And I noticed this light has almost like the steel beam running down from this light, but that part of it was not lit up. It just kind of light cast like a little bit of light over it, so you kind of vaguely see this big pole coming down. And my best, you know, way to explain it is like if you can picture a ice cream cone with a big fiery light on top, like except for the cone part isn't lit up and it's more like a pole shape. And I would estimate that it had to have been 40, 50 feet long, because when it hovered through the sky above the tree line, it was vertical, straight up. We got out of there and got back to the campground, and I remember getting close to the campground, looking back out towards where we were. You could still see that red light out there hovering around. So to this day, Derek, me and my fiance don't know if we saw a UFO or what we saw. I've never heard anyone, you know, explain the story of being so close to something like that. Well, thanks for hearing my story, Derek, and have a good one, and you do awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Now we have a first-hand experience that just might shed some light on this mystery. You see, given the fire risk up here on the mountain that we live on, the power company has been upgrading equipment a lot lately, because in the past, faulty equipment has started fires in the area. And in that process, they're replacing power lines. Lots of them. And they do it with a helicopter. They dangle the pole 50 feet or so below the chopper and lower it into place, where a team is waiting to secure it. Now, I watched them drop two right outside of my house a few months ago, right from my game room window. So maybe that's what you saw, James. A helicopter hauling around a telephone pole or some other large object. Now, I do have my doubts, because you didn't mention hearing the helicopter. And when it happened 75 yards outside of my window, it had the entire house shaking. Now, I took a video of that helicopter, and I posted it up in the show notes if you want to take a look. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the show notes tab. Otherwise, let's do this. Does anyone out there have any guess as to what this is? Does this sound familiar to any of you? especially anyone in the state of Wisconsin. If so, you know what to do. 888-608-NIGHT. And thanks again, James, for the entry. Now, folks, don't forget the shop is back and open. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab to peruse at your convenience. And if we're out of your size, don't worry. There's a reorder in place, and everything should be restocked in a week or so. Oh, and don't forget about our annual hoodie pre-order. It's going on right this moment, happening now through August 22nd. Head to our website, again, MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com, and click the shop tab to see those designs and to place your order today. And if you snooze, you lose out on a high-quality screen-printed hoodie for the upcoming spooky season. Now, red lights in the woods. Sort of like this entry from Beowulf from up in Kentucky.
Yo, this is Beowulf. This is when I lived in Georgia. I was much younger. There is a old church by the name of Old Listery. Me and my brother, my nephew, and our family friend, we heard some rumors that the Old Listery Church was haunted. But the thing is, there are some stories of the church having been used as a place for bikers to come and, you know, do drugs, stuff like that. And also has been rumored to have had satanic worshiping inside of it before it was ultimately burned to the ground or destroyed. I can't say which because there's so many different rumors about it, but the place is a Revolutionary War graveyard, and it's kind of creepy because the foundation of the church is still there. Just to give you an idea on how creepy, there was one grave that was sunk in and had the shape of a baby. I don't know if it was part of the design or if it was actually done because of, you know, weather or people. But anyway, we were just going around looking here. It was like a clear late summer evening. So it's still warm. It's in the middle of nowhere as well. One red light town. My brother, friend, and all were drinking. We were just wandering around, looking at the place. Went into the wood, found where a house used to be, and now only the basement was left. They hopped in there. I did not, because I was blind at the time. Okay, well, I'm still blind. And, you know, nothing was going on at first. But then, after they climbed out of that hole and we went back to the graveyard, one of my friends had to use the bathroom. And while he was, he knocked over a tombstone. And right after that tombstone fell, it started off with his belt breaking. And then things started to get a little chilly. And my nephew, brother, friend, they don't really believe in the ghost. But they said they started to see red orbs in the woods as well as floating around in the sky. And it was solid. It wasn't blinking like a airplane. But yet, they all just getting creeped down. I couldn't see anything, or at least very little, but it started to feel very unsettling because of the tombstone falling and them kind of being disrespectful. But yeah, great show, man. Keep it up and give us more.
Thank you, sir. I don't know, Beowulf. if you knocked my tombstone over, I'd probably come back and mess with you too. I hate to sound like a dad here, but be respectful, folks. Upending a tombstone is a guaranteed way to get yourself some sort of unwanted spiritual attachment. That is, if the stories are to be believed. But from red lights in the woods to red lights in the bedroom, please welcome Anonymous from Parts Unknown.
So, this is a secondhand story. This isn't mine. When my dad lived in Colombia, and he had two other brothers, and they lived in this house, and, like, things happened in this house that were really weird. Like, there would be, like, doors slamming and just really weird, like, phenomenons that was, like, not normal. So when my dad was around the age of, like, 12, 13, 14, he lived in this house, and he saw this red light, and it would float around his room, and it wasn't from anything, because it was just, like, it would be everywhere. It would be in his brother's room, his mom's room, and in his room, and sometimes it would be holding an object, and it was, like, a thing my dad would tell all the time, and it was just, like, a red light, and it was, like, probably about the size of your palm, of your hand. And it just used to float around my dad's head, and he would freak out. The light never really did any harm to anyone, but yeah, bye.
Thank you, caller. I guess it happens in Colombia too, apparently. And it happens indoors. Now, folks, I have to take a quick break here. But when I return, a monster story pertaining to the color red. I'll be right back.
So what do they do? They say, well,
if you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
So what, Monday, Tuesday is when it's going to happen.
They'd be helpful in a positive, friendly way.
Now, the subject of this following call is not exactly a monster, but I'd say that he's pretty close. Please welcome Ashley out of Tennessee.
Hey, Derek and Monsters Among Us family. This is Ashley calling from Tennessee. The story that I would like to share with you tonight is a story that dates back whenever we were in high school. It was probably between 2008 and 2009. We were just hanging out, but what happened next was a unanimous experience. Like, to this day, we can look at each other and be like, do you remember that one time? And all three of us are like, yep. We were cruising around late at night. It was probably, I don't know, between 8 and 11 o'clock at night, just smoking and laughing like kids do. We were in the middle of nowhere. It was pitch black, country road. There were some houses, but it was mostly cow fields and trees and the road. So we turned down this road and we saw this massive man walking on the side of the road. He was carrying this axe. He was wearing red plaid overalls. He was about 6 foot. It looked like he had like a really scruffy beard, but we never saw his face. He was wearing boots and he had this axe slung over his shoulder like it was nothing. If you opened up a children's book and looked up the letter L is for lumberjack, this was like textbook definition. He didn't look ghostly or transparent. He was solid. He was real. My brother actually steered the car around him like you do when people are walking on the side of the road to make sure that you give them enough room where you don't hit them. So we passed, and he never looked up, just kept walking, like chilling on the side of the road late at night with an axe slung over your shoulder was just a normal part of his routine. And the second that we passed, my brother was like, "Holy F, did you see that?" My best friend, his girlfriend at the time, was like, yeah. And they were like, "Well, did you see that?" And I said, "Yeah." And my brother, I was kind of known to be a people pleaser at the time. My brother was like, "Okay, what did you see?" So I described to him exactly what I saw to him, down to the axe slung over his right shoulder. And when we looked back, he was gone. If he had, like, darted, there was, like, a big gate, we would have saw him climbing the gate, or at least on the other side of it. So we went on, and like an hour or two, we circled back. And when we got to that area, we were all like super, super sketched out. We didn't want to see him because, I mean, I guess all of us knew that we knew what we saw, and what we saw was not supposed to be there. So, yeah, that's my story about, like, seeing basically Paul Bunyan. Keep up the good work, and have a good night.
Thank you, Ashley, for calling in. Well, it sounds like you had a run-in with the infamous Flannel Man. Now check out the podcast Strange Familiars to learn more about that mysterious figure. And I've linked to some info in tonight's show notes. But essentially, he's often described as a tall man wearing a red or blue flannel shirt who appears during or around supernatural events, especially sleep paralysis. He's not inherently malevolent, but seems connected to liminal experiences and altered states of consciousness. Some liken him to the Hat Man or Shadow People. Again, you can learn more by visiting tonight's show notes. And thank you again, Ashley, for the tale. And as unsettling as the Flannel Man can be, believe it or not, these next few entries induce even more fear. Please welcome Luke out of the state of Florida.
Hello, Derek. It's me, Luke, here from Florida. So, about 4 weeks ago now, me and my wife, we were sleeping, and I woke up from a dream that I had, kind of just in sweat and everything, just kind of freaking out. And I try to remember the dream and tell my wife right away. So I turn to her, I wake her up, and I tell her. I start off in the dream, I'm walking through the woods. And as I am walking through these woods, I see these dark, red, big eyes up in the trees. And I get to where I can look up in the trees at this thing. And he jumps down, and now I get to see who it is. And it's my friend, the Mothman. I know that sounds kind of funny, but he jumped out. It's not funny at the time. I was really, really freaked out, and I woke up screaming. And yeah, that's the second time in the past couple months that he came to me, and I didn't know what was going on. So then after the two reoccurring dreams, you know, after the second night of waking up, I told my wife, I was like, "Listen, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what's going on. Something's going to happen because he keeps coming here." And this time he came to me in dreams. So it's definitely going to be something that happens. So, fast forward this month, we're about to move, and we're getting everything together, and the next week we move. And our cat, rest in peace, Salem, went out into the middle of the road that night and got hit by a car. It completely shook the whole family. It is our house cat that we've had for a while, and all of our cats are loving the outdoors where we've lived recently. And they've had a great time out there, none of which they have run into the road. So, yeah, that's my story, Derek. Thank you so much, man. Great podcast. Thank you so much, man. Keep it up.
We appreciate the entry, Luke. That's terrible. and one of my worst nightmares. I keep an eye on all our doors like a prison warden, just for that very reason. I'm sorry for your loss. But that loss is why I decided to share this call. Because I typically don't share stories about dreams. But when they feature a harbinger of doom, and then doom occurs the next day, well, I figure that's worth a couple of minutes. So Luke, be sure to let us know if he happens to return. And good luck to you, if he does. Now from a super popular cryptid, to the bloody ghost of a little boy, please welcome Mike, out of Canada.
Hey Derek, my name is Mike. I'm calling from Ontario. I had a couple experiences I wanted to share. They've been on my mind for my life, and I never really thought anything of it. But, you know, with everything coming out these days, you know, I might be onto something. The first part I want to tell you, I'll give you the setting. I'm in my bed just, you know, going to sleep, and I know there's sleep paralysis, and I know sometimes my eyes play tricks on me when I'm dreaming or whatever, and they're open. I know what it's like to hallucinate, but I was suddenly awoken, and my room was lit up because I had a light on in there for some reason, but there was this boy, maybe 10 to 12 years old, covered in blood, standing beside my bed and looking off to one side. And immediately I just wanted to help him. I didn't understand what was going on. Like, when I got out of bed to try to help him, my arms would just go through him, and I could walk around him like he was a stationary object. It wasn't like sometimes you wake up after dreaming and you can see that you've been hallucinating, but you move your eyes and your eyes move the image. Well, this was something right in front of me, and I couldn't determine what it was, and I just had the sudden urge to help him somehow, but I couldn't, and I just couldn't get to him. I couldn't grab him, and yeah, so it was pretty crazy, and then he just disappeared, but he disappeared really slowly, and it was almost like watching pixels, each pixel just sort of fade out, and then it was gone. I've never had an experience like that in my life. Yeah, love your show. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks, man.
Incredible, Mike. Thank you for calling in. Now look, most of us that wake up and see a bloody young boy in our bedroom would freak right out. Maybe scream, faint, duck under the covers, or at the very least you would think they would run out of the room. But not Mike here. Mike is here to help. And good on you there, Mike. That says a lot about your character. That was your first instinct. Because I'm not ashamed to admit that I probably would have ran out of the room. I'll probably poke my head back inside after a moment or two, but I would run, nonetheless. Now as for the little boy, talk about something that'll stick with you. Thank you again, Mike, for making the call.
Be the time in modern history for you to do...
That's a lot of turnover.
With your financial and tax preparation before making investment decisions.
In depth to the IRS, this is important news.
All right, folks, we're down to the home stretch, and I saved some of the more sinister for last. So please welcome this anonymous caller out of the state of Texas.
Hi, it's Anonymous calling from the great state of Texas. Several years ago, when I had just one son, he was around probably 3 or 4 years old, and we were living in a townhouse, and it was pretty old. You know, it was decent, but it was a little bit old. And he used to sleep at the end of my bed in the morning. Like, he would wake up early, and he would go sleep at the end of my bed. And one day, he told me that he got up, and he went and slept at the end of my bed. He was laying down, and all of a sudden, he said he saw this jet black figure with red eyes run quickly down the stairs of our townhouse, and he followed it. He ran after it, and he saw it go out with my now ex-husband. You know, and he was a little boy telling me this, so I know he wasn't making it up, and he had no idea, like, what is a shadow person. And another thing that happened in that same townhouse, I would sometimes be, you know, in my bed, sleeping, and kind of like in between sleep and awakefulness, and I would feel my bed bounce. And I would look down to see if it was my son, but there was nothing there. And then another time I was like kind of sleeping, and I was in between sleep and awakefulness, and I remember seeing these little black short entities or whatever kind of running around my bed. It wasn't a dream, but it was like, you know, barely opening my eyes. You know, I've had a lot of run-ins with, you know, these little entities and affecting my sleep. I finally got rid of it. But, you know, I just thought that was interesting that my son said that. And he was just a little boy when he told me that. So that's my story in addition to the shadow person. Okay, thank you.
A red-eyed shadow person. And naturally, it was your young son that had a run-in with a caller. Poor little guy. What is it with red eyes, though? Shadow people have them. Sometimes Bigfoot seems to have them. Mothman. The Dover Demon. And whatever the hell this thing is that Deidre in North Carolina ran into.
Hey, Derek, this is Deidre. I'm from North Carolina. I'm a medic, and I have a ton of stories. One in particular that I want to call about tonight is about a base that is in our area. There's a lot of negativity around that base, a lot of negative energy. There's woods surrounding this base, and recently the woods across from the base have been cleared, so activity has stirred up a lot more. Last week, it was probably about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. There was no wind, nothing. There was like several bangs at the front door of the base. And I happened to look, because where I sit, I can see like straight out of the glass door on the base. And I looked, and there's a post near the door. And I saw this black thing standing beside the door. And so I just, you know, was like, I'm just going to ignore this. So I went back to reading. And then there was another bang at the door. And a few seconds later, I looked up. And this black thing, these fingers wrapped around the post of the base. And this head just kind of poked around. And like this black thing was at least 7 feet tall. I mean, it was really tall. And then all of a sudden, these red eyes appeared. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my partner was asleep. And I didn't want to wake her up, but I was freaking out. So I got something and I put it over the door of the base so I couldn't see out anymore. But the black thing that's at our base is making itself known more and more. Earlier in the night, we were sitting in the base, and our base door, you have to have like a key card to get in, and it's locked at all times. Like, it's not very easily opened from the inside. You actually have to force the handle to open the door. So we're sitting there in the day area. It's nighttime. I think it was probably around 11 o'clock because it was dark outside, and all of a sudden, the door opens on its own. There's no beeping of the key card, nothing like that. And my partner and I are just looking at each other, and then we hear someone walk in. And this is like, we can see the door. We're in the area where the door is, and there's nobody there. The door closes, and we hear footsteps walking in front of us. And it walks through the day area, and then it walks to the back to where our ambulance bay is. It opens the door, and disappears. And my partner and I are just sitting there looking at each other like, what just happened? And this started before the black figure later on that night. And it's just really weird because there was nobody else at our base. Obviously, we didn't see anybody walk in. We just heard the footsteps as we're sitting there. And then we heard some shuffling around in the bay where the ambulance is. We heard, like, things being knocked down in the supply closet. And we're sitting there and we're just like, should we go investigate this? And so, like, we give it probably about, like, 10 minutes. And so we go into the ambulance bay and there are multiple items that have fallen on the floor in the supply closet. No other ambulance had come by the base that night. Nobody had come by the base that night. So it was just really weird that that was the start of a very weird night. Then later on, seeing the very tall black figure with the red eyes and the very long fingers wrapping around the post. Fortunately, tomorrow is my last night at this base. So, yeah, there's been a lot more activity. The black creature, black figure, it's really scary. And there's this overwhelming sense of doom whenever it makes itself known. Never seen the red eyes before until that night. So, yeah, love the podcast. Thanks.
Thank you, Deidre. The fingers wrapping around the pole. It's pretty eerie, ain't it? Now this figure in its weird dark fingers is intimidating enough without those bright red eyes. And maybe it's the red that really makes the encounter special. Because studies have shown that being exposed to or wearing red can cause some of the following physical effects to occur. Elevated blood pressure, enhanced metabolism, increased heart rate, increased respiration rate. And all of these physiological changes naturally cause your energy levels to spike, giving you a big adrenaline rush. So perhaps that's why these red eyes are so shocking to everyone that witnesses them. Thank you again, Deidre, for taking the time to call. And a big thanks to all of tonight's storytellers. We really appreciate your time. And that's going to do it for tonight, folks. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow at YouTube as well. And of course, join us over on Discord to continue the conversation. Now don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, co.ag music. And Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. And of course, don't forget to watch our film, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Go to BorregoTriangle.com to learn how. And we're getting really close to getting set up for you international folks. I know I've been saying that for a long time, but it's finally in our control now. We just have to set it all up. So stay tuned. You'll be able to watch the film the same day that I finally make the announcement, which again is coming soon. And lastly, join us in the beyond, monstersamonguspodcast.com, and click the Patreon tab. I'll see you all back here on Thursday with a brand new collection of calls. But until then, you keep it spooky, and have a great night.